Good morning. Welcome back to Quicksland This Morning. And today we're pleased to welcome aboard, as promised, Sergeant Eric Brown with the Highway Patrol. How are you, sir?
Very good, Bob. How about you?
Wonderful. Okay, I got to ask you, how did you spend the day last week? Because this is pretty cool.
Myself and my son, amongst several hundred thousand other people, spent a day at the PGA Championships and got to experience that. It was really, really cool to see. Well over 100,000 people there every day. The crowds were outstanding, very supportive of the players. It was a great environment to be involved in.
The reason I'm asking you that, too, when I go out and see an event, if I'm not directly involved in it, I'm taking a look at the news coverage of it. Do you look at security when you're at an event like that?
The security presence was phenomenal. The work they did prior to just get the place set up and ready to go was unbelievable. But there was hundreds of different law enforcement agencies probably involved in that. As you walked around, saw the different officers involved in the security there. They were from agencies really all around the area, including the patrol, and some from quite a ways away that assisted throughout the week.
I know you've been involved in planning for various visits from dignitaries and that kind of thing. Can you imagine what went on planning for something like this?
Just the logistics of it alone is amazing. You know, when you have 120-some thousand people that have to be bused in or Uber or ride shared into a place like that doesn't have any parking, that alone will be a very hard task to undertake. And they did an outstanding job with that.
So you worked with the Highway Patrol in St. Louis County, didn't you, before you came back here?
That's correct. I was in North St. Louis County.
So was the Highway Patrol in that area involved at all?
Yeah, there was troopers from all across the state where I had attended in different functions, providing security outside the course, traffic direction. We had officers that walked with some of the players during the tournament as well.
All right, but you had fun. That was the important thing.
Absolutely. It was a good time.
All right. Well, we're talking back to school safety today, and what do we need to remind motorists of, first of all?
Yeah, as the kids go back to school this week and next week, even if you live in a rural area, you're going to see a change in traffic patterns. You'll have an increase in vehicles on the roadways to and from school in the mornings and the afternoons both. Be aware of those things, especially in the school zones. Really pay attention as you're driving. And watch out for kids, especially while these nice summer days come to an end and the cool weather comes this fall. There'll be a lot of kids walking to school, a lot of kids riding their bicycles to school. And kids are unpredictable. You know, sometimes they don't follow the traffic laws while they're walking and while they're riding their bike. And you don't want to have one of them dart out in front of you unexpectedly and cause a crash. And you'll also have a lot of school buses that are going to be out and about again. And really watch for those. They're frequent stops. And obey the law. We'll stop behind them. Stop as you're approaching. And watch for the kids. Even though the bus drivers aren't allowed to let them walk across more than one lane of traffic, you know, you never know what a young child's going to do when they get off the bus excited to get to or get home from school.
I'm guessing even something as simple as the drop-off areas at schools, motorists need to be cautious too, because you get pretty close to a vehicle in front of you.
Absolutely. Really, you need to plan extra time, just like anything else, whenever you're going to be traveling somewhere. When you start these morning commutes with increased traffic in school buses and parking lots in schools, plan a little bit of extra time. That way you don't have that feeling that you need to cut in front of another car, you need to rush or speed, or try and push another car out of the way, if you will, to get to your destination quicker.
Is it also a pretty good time to remind folks, hey, when you're driving, you need to focus on what you're doing, not on texting or talking on the phone?
The distractions, even at slow speeds, are very, very dangerous. That couple of seconds that you stop to look down to grab your phone off the floor or pick up the sandwich you just got from a drive-through, taking your attention away from the job of driving can become very serious. You could rear in the car in front of you. If a young child shoots across the road in front of you on their bicycle or run across the street to get to the school quicker too, you might not see that and turn into a tragic day for you and whoever else is involved in it.
You know, we think so much about, say, the 7-8:30 time frame in the morning, maybe 2 to 3:30 in the afternoon, but there are other times when kids are on the playground too, and balls tend up in streets, don't they?
Absolutely. It's just unpredictable. You never know what's going to occur while you're driving, and if you're obeying the traffic laws and paying attention to the job of driving, it's going to solve a lot of problems right there in of itself.
All right. How about school buses? How's the patrol involved with them?
Every year, the Highway Patrol is involved in the school bus inspection program, where we travel across the entire state and inspect every school bus that transports children. Fortunately, for our state, the pass rate on the school buses is outstanding, especially in the Troop B area, the 16 counties that we serve. We have somewhere around like a 93 to a 96% pass rate. Most of the violations that they do find are very minor, something they can fix easily, not something they have to put the bus out of service for. That bus can't be driven again until that problem is fixed. That is very, very rare for us here in our troop and really across the state. The school bus remains the safest way to travel to and from school. It's safer than walking. It's safer than riding a bicycle. It's safer than riding with a family member.
And for some folks may be wondering, I don't know what the numbers are, about why there aren't safety belts in buses. Well, they're compartmentalized, so it's actually very safe the way it is, isn't it?
It is very safe. And there are some school buses out there that have some seat belts in them, especially your buses that transport handicapped children, things like that, or transport children that are required to be in the booster seats, or I'm sorry, required to be in like a child seat, something like that. There are some that are out there like that. But everything about a school bus is designed for safety, to make that bus safer if it is involved in a traffic crash. They sit very high for a reason. That way, if they're involved in a traffic crash, those forces that your body would feel in a smaller vehicle are actually going under your feet, so you don't feel that the same. You think back to the school buses that you and I rode on, and you sat down in a seat, and the seats were very short. You could look from the front of the bus to the back of bus. The seats are very tall now. They're soft and padded to help reduce impacts and when a child hits that seat, or if they go back in the seat to help support their head if a crash does occur. Those are very rare.
Let's give folks some important reminders. Who has to stop for a school bus on the road when a stop arm comes out?
When a stop arm comes out, if you're on a two-lane road, any vehicle behind it or any vehicle traveling towards the school bus is required by law to stop. Anytime you're behind a school bus and the caution lights and the red lights come on, the stop sign comes out, if you're behind that bus, you're required by law to stop. The only time that you're not required to stop for that is if you're on a four-lane roadway and you're traveling in the opposite direction of the bus. Those vehicles are allowed to keep traveling because those children should not be walking across that roadway anyhow.
And do we find people that violate that?
We will start seeing a big increase in our number of stop arm violations, what we call a stop arm violation. And those are something that the patrol and all law enforcement officers across the state take very seriously. The vast majority of the time, the school bus either has a camera or the bus driver gets a good look at the person driving the vehicle, gets their license plate number, and then that is something that we in turn go and deal with that situation appropriately.
All right. I'm substantially older than you are, despite you talking about us being the same age with school buses. When I was growing up, school buses did not have cameras, but right now, majority of them have several, don't they?
There's lots of cameras on a school bus. Some of them have outside cameras that's catching the traffic outside in front of the bus. And the vast majority of them have the cameras inside the bus recording the activities that go on inside it as well.
Okay, how about for the kids on the bus? What do they need to be reminded of? Because that driver needs to focus too.
The driver has a very important job. You know, they're in charge of a lot of people's lives every day, whether they're traveling to or from school or going to sporting events. They need to really focus on that job of driving. And they also have to focus on the kids on the bus, make sure they're behaving properly. If the kids ride the school bus the right way, it's going to make that bus driver's job a lot easier. If they sit in their seats, remain in their seats, and they stay quiet, avoid horseplay, things like that, it makes that job of that driver a lot easier.
So would this be a good time for parents to sit down with the kids before they go to school and say, hey, this is how you need to handle things on the bus?
It absolutely is. It starts at home. A kid's behavior starts at home, and the school helps with that. But it really is the responsibility of the parents to help them out. We also have a program that we take to elementary schools for kids on how to properly ride the school bus. In that program, we talk about the behavior they need to maintain while they're on a school bus. We also talk to them about what they need to do if various different emergency style situations arise on what they need to do if something like that happens, to help prepare them for the unexpected as well.
Sergeant Eric Brown with the Highway Patrol is with us. We're talking back to school safety. And one thing that comes to mind for me too, our oldest is 22 years old, just got married, but I can remember when he entered kindergarten, we had a baby, and that child rode along to help take him to school. Didn't drive, rode along. So is it important too to remind parents, if you got a young kid, make sure they're still in that child restraint seat?
Absolutely. Make sure those children are properly restrained. A seatbelt or a child restraint for any occupant in a vehicle is the most important thing you can do every single time you ride a motor vehicle, because you can be doing everything correctly and someone else still cause you to be involved in a crash. And that seatbelt's going to help reduce injuries and probably save your life if you're in a bad crash. So that's very important. Something else parents need to think about too, as they're traveling to and from school and dropping their kids off, make sure that child is exiting from the side of the car that is closest to their destination, so they're not stepping out into the parking lot or into where traffic might be flowing and putting them in some extra danger. Have them on the right side or left side of the car, wherever they need to be exiting from, to make them the safest.
Okay, how about the child restraint seat? Are they easy to install, or can they be confusing?
You know, when you walk into a Target or a Walmart or something that has a lot of seats, it can be overwhelming because they are so complex looking and so much nicer than what they were years ago. But the basics are still the same. They still strap in the same with the latch systems or the seatbelt systems, and they're very easy to install if you take the time to take a look at it, read the owner's manual, look at the owner's manual in your car, make sure that you're putting it in the proper place for the child, and you're strapping it in securely. And if anybody ever has any questions about how to do that, I'm a child safety technician, a child passenger safety technician. We can help with that. We can help with installs, teach people how to do it, check their seats, make sure they're still safe. And all your health departments also have the child safety seat technicians that are around to help with that. And a lot of fire departments do, too.
And the booster seats are pretty important, too, for the somewhat taller kids.
That's correct. And what we see a lot of is parents moving their children either to a booster seat too soon or from the booster seat to a seat belt too soon. For a child to move from a booster seat to a seat belt, they need to be able to sit down in the car in a normal sitting position, have their feet flat on the floor, and have that seatbelt lay across their body properly before they need to move out of that booster into an actual seatbelt.
And there's a reason for that, and that has to do with where the belt wraps across the stomach, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, the seatbelt lays across your hips, very strong part of your body, and across your rib cage, your collarbone, all those parts of your skeletal system that's designed to protect the interior parts of your body. And those seatbelts go across those strong parts as well to help keep you safe and reduce injury.
All right, let's turn the page and talk a little water safety. People are going to be hitting the water again as we get near the mid to the later portion of August. What do we need to remind them of?
Anytime you're on the water, it's a great time. It's a good day. We've got a lot of nice weather to come yet, a lot of good days and weekends to be on the lake, even though school's starting. First and foremost, make sure that if you're in a boat, you have a sober boat captain. Avoid dehydration. Avoid overexertion where you get too tired. Wear your life jackets. You know, the life jackets are there for a reason. Just having them in the boat isn't good enough. When an emergency situation arises, it's going to be too late to grab that thing and put it on. Wear those life jackets. That will make a huge difference in saving your life.
It's important, too, to pay attention to what's going on around you and say, hey, should I be going out on the water today?
Absolutely. You know, be ready for quickly changing weather conditions. You know, as we saw last week, we had a very, very hot weather and in beautiful sunshine skies. And next thing you know, we had pop-up thunderstorms all over the place.
From nowhere.
Yep. They just, this time of year, they just develop and can become very severe very quickly. You know, keep an eye on the sky. Almost everybody has a smartphone with them. Kind of keep an eye on the weather. Pay attention to those forecasts. Listen to the radio in the morning. See what they have to say. And be prepared for whatever situations might occur.
Well, let me ask you something kind of silly. If this silly iPhone is going to fall out of the boat, is it worth diving in after?
Absolutely not. Unfortunately, we do see a lot of drowning incidents, whether it's people swimming or falling from a vessel or jumping from a vessel to get something that's blown out. There's nothing that you have in your boat other than another person that's worth jumping in the water for to try and rescue or save. Just know what your skill level is and avoid putting yourself into a potentially dangerous situation.
I think one of the most important things I heard several years ago, too, if you're going to go out on the water, whether it's Long Branch, Mark Twain, Lake of the Ozarks, wherever, let someone know when you're going to go out and when you're going to come back.
Yeah, and that goes with traveling, boating, whatever you may be doing, especially if you're going on a trip by yourself. You know, let somebody know what your plans are for the day, what roadways you plan on traveling on, what lake you plan on being at. If you're getting ready to go hunting this fall, make sure somebody knows where you're at before you leave to go on that deer hunting trip or whatever it may be that you're doing. Just in case you do experience some type of medical emergency or you have an equipment failure of some type where it's easy for somebody to find you. As great as our cellular telephone service is, there's still places out there where it might not work or it could go dead on you.
All right, I saved the best part for last. There's going to be some young drivers heading out to school for the first time, whether it's high school or going some distance to college. Do they need to take some extra precautions too?
You know, young drivers aren't necessarily bad drivers. You hear a lot of people say, well, these kids don't know how to drive. Some of these kids are actually better drivers than we are. They're just inexperienced, and they haven't developed any bad habits yet, but they don't necessarily know what to do when they're faced with different circumstances and how they need to actually react to that until they've been faced with it a few times. We do see an increase in traffic crashes involving our young drivers, especially between the hours of 3 and 4 when school is letting out. That's a more common time for those children to be involved in traffic crashes. But you just have to be aware that they're there. Watch for them as they need to watch for you. The young kids really need to pay attention to the traffic laws, make sure they're driving the speed limit, putting their electronic devices down, and avoiding distractions. Now, I think something else a lot of people don't think about as they go to send their child off to college for the first time or for their second or third or fourth year, whatever it may be, and parents, you know, they're pretty good about telling them not to drink and drive and to wear their seatbelt and obey the speed limit, things like that. But think about what kind of vehicle you're sending your kid off to school on. You know, is that thing roadworthy? Make sure that it's running properly. Make sure it has a proper amount of fluids in it. Take a look at the tires. You know, bad tires can be very, very dangerous, especially when we have changing weather conditions with rain, slick roadways from dew in the morning, and as we get into the wintertime, snow and ice. Good tires can make a big difference on a safe trip.
How about something as simple as making sure you get enough rest?
You know, driving without enough sleep is very, very similar, if not almost identical, to driving while under the influence of drugs or alcohol. As you're nodding off and your focus isn't good and you're falling asleep, you're not really able to pay attention to the job of driving. You're not going to be able to react quickly to changing circumstances.
All right, final thought. You didn't challenge anyone at the PGA, did you, saying, hey, I could outdrive you?
Oh, absolutely not. That'd be a really bad idea.
All right, did your son?
Nope. The crowds were great and very supportive, and it was a really cool experience for everybody that was got the opportunity to attend.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Bob.
Sergeant Eric Brown with the Highway Patrol, he's joined us today.